Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears along with you here on this Getaway Friday, March the 19th, 2021. 18 minutes past the hour, and we're going to have this little talk here really quick. And it's the last time you'll ever have to hear me mention this particular season. But we are going into spring now. Depending on who you are, this could be the last day of the winter of 2021, which is kind of hard for me to believe because I remember us talking back around December 20th, December 21st, about it being the first day of winter. And here we are, possibly the last day of winter. Now, here's what's interesting. These solstices and these... I took one meteorology class in college. So to be honest with you, I am not really sure what the difference is between a solstice and an equinox and all of those sort of things. But here's what I know. For many, many years, the first day of spring was March 21st. The first day of summer was June 21st. The first day of winter, or fall, excuse me, autumn, was September 21st, and the first day of winter was December 21st. And then somewhere along the way, people, and I'm not even sure if this has to do with radar or sophisticated meteorological, oh, we're going to go to the phone lines here. Go ahead, caller.
Well, good morning, interviewer to the stars. How are you on this chilly morning?
I'm good. A chilly Getaway Friday.
I just thought, we are hinting about it, but before a major event takes place, which you're aware of very shortly, I thought I'd give you one call, kind of a celebrational. And, you know, we'll keep the listeners in suspense because, as you said, this is one of the biggest events ever at the station, and I would agree. So we'll leave it at that and let people sit at the edge of their seats. You asked a science question. I'm going to switch topics really quickly.
Well, hold on. Before you do that, I want to say this. This is all I want to say about what's going on today and what will happen. There are two huge events coinciding that are going to happen probably within the next, 14 days. They'll be complete. And at that point, we will be able to announce these things. And I think they're two of the biggest announcements we've ever made. So you got to stay tuned for all that.
Yeah, and April Fool's Day, that's, you know, we can think of a few people. I can think of one person in particular, because his name comes up a lot, who might be appropriate for April Fool's Day, but then let's switch topics on the more academic topics.
Yes.
The solstice, the equinox. Equinox, again, it sounds like equal. It just means that the day, in terms of when the sun goes up and goes down, is 12 hours, and that is generally about the same time that we switch seasons, usually somewhere between the 19th and the 23rd of a month, so... We are getting close to that equinox, and as you can tell, I mean, part of it is psychological with daylight savings time. It just seems like every day we gain, 10, 15 minutes of daylight. It's not quite that much. It's more like 1 to 2 minutes on each side on sunset and sunrise, but you also get a lot more twilight. Twilight's much longer, especially in June when we have the most daylight than it is in December. Plus, December is kind of a cloudy month, at least in this part of the country. So psychologically, like today, my lawn care guy, kind of getting up early because, again, there's things I'm doing a little bit later that will keep our listeners at the edge of their seat on. Believe me, folks, it's more than worth it. My lawn care guy just came 10 minutes ago. You know, Scott, when the lawn care guy comes the first time, you know that it's spring. That's kind of a ritual. I think he waits for, a week after all the snow piles melt and he's outside putting granular on my lawn, and that's just wonderful. I salute him for getting up at 5 in the morning and getting his equipment ready and doing the great job that he always does. And the solstice is either the summer or the winter solstice. The winter solstice just before Christmas, around the 21st of December, the longest day of the year, or longest night of the year, with the most darkness, most time between sunset and sunrise. And the summer solstice, 3 weeks after my birthday, on the 21st, 22nd of June, when it's the opposite. So many times people have celebrations. There certainly are some implications. religious, spiritual, celebrational implications. But this year, Scott, as you'd agree, typical of this four-season thing we have here, you know, a month ago, we had you know, 2 feet of snow on the ground, it seems. Like, in 2 days, it all melted because it went from freezing cold to 60 in a couple days, and we're kind of seeing this rapid ascent into spring. But I'm sure we'll get some more cold weather. They're talking about snow possibly this weekend in parts of northern Ohio. So winter's not quite over yet, but we're certainly over the hurdle.
No, but do you... Okay, so I get what the solstice is, and it's what I thought it was. So the equinox comes every month?
No, it comes when we have equal amounts of daylight and
night. Oh, so only twice a year.
Which is approximately the 21st of March and the 21st of September.
Yes. Right.
And the whole thing is kind of skewed because in September is a warm month. I mean, I'm still wearing shorts till Thanksgiving, for goodness sakes, but that's because I spent a lot of my life near the Canadian border.
So my
definition of cold isn't the same. It might not be the same as yours, but September 21st, even though it's still a very warm month, that's a 12-hour situation. March 21st, when, you know, might be warm one day, cold the next, that's also a case where it's equal night and day.
So this weekend, just to be clear, there are only 2 days a year that we have equinoxes and solstices, and one of those will be this weekend.
Yeah, I don't remember the exact. I remember Ben Gelber, or my and your favorite weather person, talking about. I'm thinking he said it was Saturday morning, but don't hold me to that. It's around the 21st, you know, 21st minus, plus or minus 1 or 2 days.
Well, see, that's my complaint, and I like Ben, and I like all the other weathermen, but the problem is this year I've already heard it that the first day of spring is tomorrow, March the 20th, but I don't think that's right, because
it's 5:37 a.m., I was right, yeah, but it's anywhere between the 19th and the 23rd. Again, there's leap year also affects it, because last year was a leap year, or last year was kind of crazy to begin with, not that this year isn't really less crazy, so it just depends, based upon the way that, you know, because that... Also, we are not exactly 365 and a quarter days per year, and so that's why sometimes they do these leap seconds. Sometimes they have to correct the clock or the atomic clock. You were talking about the atomic clock at the station, so it's not exact. So between that and some of the irregularities of the Earth's movement, it's usually the 21st, but it might be a day or two before or after. And we're a little lucky. 24 hours from now, about a little more than 22 minutes from now, we will have equinox, and it'll be spring.
Well, I guess
tomorrow.
I guess what I don't understand, now I can understand the equinox moving, because if the equinox means 12 hours of daylight, 12 hours of dark,
daylight because of twilight, but I mean, yeah, technically in terms of where the sun is, yeah.
Yeah, I can see why that would move around every year, but what I don't understand is why the first day of these seasons and why the solstice would move.
And there's also the meteorological and the climactic. Then the weatherman might say March 1st is the start of spring, just because that's kind of a transitional month. And you can see every day this month, it rapidly seems to be getting more daylight. Of course, the temperature swings, but in general, we're on a warming trend. And September also, where, you know, September is still a warm month, but it obviously is getting cooler by the day, plus you're seeing a lot of daylight being lost.
I guess what I'm confused about is for many years, it was always on the 21st, the first day of spring, first day of fall, first day of winter, first day of summer, but what the interesting thing is that when they got the tools, they started moving that around, and I'm confused on what are they looking at?
Well, it was never the 21st. It was always the 21st plus or minus 1 or 2 days.
Yeah.
It's not usually as early as the 19th or late as the 23rd, but I've seen that.
But what's the basis?
It's based upon the astronomers and other people with their fancy equipment, and of course now the computers, who determine when the equinox or solstice is, and it's at an exact minute. And according to my, you know, my quickie Google search here, is tomorrow at 5:37 a.m. So a little more than 22 hours, we will officially be in spring. And again, but of course. Also the case of the interpretation that spring means it's warming up quickly. You know, in Australia or other places in the southern hemisphere, it's now going to start getting colder.
So
it's kind of weird to think in Australia, July is the coldest month. Here, January is the coldest month.
So what happens at 5:37 tomorrow morning?
Nothing you can go outside and really see. I believe it has to do with where the Earth, and you know, I have to look online specifically to give you a scientific answer, as this isn't this isn't really my main scientific field, but in a general sense, Scott, if we have any astronomers listening, hopefully they can call and give you a better answer than I can. It has to do with where the sun and the moon, where the sun and the earth are in terms of an equal, how the sun is reflecting on the earth and how much sunlight it's providing. And that's a crack answer. But it relates to the end result being equal amounts of daylight and night. And again, it's really more daylight because of twilight, which also increases rapidly this time of the year, as you've seen. The sun goes down, and it's half an hour later, it's still slightly light outside. But where the sun is on the horizon, that it's actually above the horizon for 12 hours and below the horizon for 12 hours. And that's where the equinox comes in. The solstice means we have the least amount of sun over the horizon. But also, as you notice, around Christmas time, which is just after the winter solstice, we have much less twilight. So we gain about 6 hours between this time, between June 21st approximately and December 21st, but it's really more because there's more twilight.
So this weekend, between Saturday and Sunday, we will have an equinox, we will have a solstice, we will have a first day of spring.
Well, the equinox, the solstice is when you have either the least amount or the most amount. Just think of equinox, you know, equal.
Right, so the equinox is tomorrow, right?
Tomorrow, according to Google, 5:37 a.m.
Okay, so when's the solstice?
It'll be approximately June 21st. Let me get the date. Again, it's...
Oh, June 21st. Oh, okay.
Approximately.
Okay, so there is no spring solstice.
This is an interesting one, Scott. It's June 20th, but it's 11:31 at night. So it's just before June 21st. So 6:20:21 at 11:31 p.m. It can be any time. At 11:31 p.m. is almost the 21st, so... The way you can interpret it, you can say that June 21st is the first full day of summer, because the first day of summer is the 20th, but that's kind of dumb because you only get 29 minutes of summer.
Well, that's interesting, because I just would love to know. So spring and fall are based in the equinoxes, and
well,
summer...
each season is between an equinox and the solstice, yeah. Yeah.
Right. So the summer and winter are based on solstices.
Exactly. I mean, the first day of winter, which is approximately the 21st of December. I didn't look it up, but it's 21st plus or minus a day or two. The first day of summer, 6/20/21. Yes, that's when you get to the solstice, and then the days start getting shorter. It seems kind of weird, but the 21st is technically shorter than the 20th, even though, I mean, you don't really notice it till the middle of July. But also, people might say, well, why isn't June 20th the warmest day of the year? The warmest day of the year in this part of the country is around the 20th, 25th of July. It's just because the sun is tilted. My understanding is it's tilted, and the way the sunlight is filtered, because actually, and from my understanding, and I'm not looking this up, just going from, you know, my astronomy that I take it and read about, the sun's actually closer to the earth around Christmas, around the winter solstice, but it's not as direct. You get more direct, stronger sunlight, less filtering in June, because of the rotation of and the way that the Earth spins, it isn't actually the warmest day of the year until about a month later. So instead, because if you look at it, well, why isn't December 21st the coldest day of the year? Why is it closer to January 21st? Just because of this tilt. But it depends in different parts of the country too. I believe in the South, you go further south, like say Alabama. Places still would have at least some hint of four seasons. It actually there's a different day for the peak of the cold and for the warmth.
See,
I remember when I was in northern New York, the cold actually peaks closer to the beginning of February as you go north. So that's another little phenomenon. But you can ask Ben about that next time he's on, because it is kind of fascinating. Astronomy and weather, the way they interact, is really quite interesting.
See, I don't think in Alabama they know anything's going on. I don't even think they get
depends.
Newspapers.
I mean,
though.
Northern Alabama, Huntsville, I mean, they have the four seasons, but obviously the winter isn't as bad here. A high temperature will be in the 50s instead of the 30s, and, you know, the summer is 90s instead of 80s, and they also get a lot of thunderstorms. But somewhere in Florida, I mean, Miami, it might be 40 degrees a couple days out of the year, but it's pretty much summer all the time. You don't really notice it. You just notice the sun, but as you go south, like at the equator, every day is 12 hours. Whereas, you know, they call Alaska the land of the midnight sun. As you go, I think, north of the Arctic Circle, or it's south of the Antarctic Circle, December 21st is all night, and June 21st is all day. So as you go north, you see a bigger difference. Like when I was in northern New York, I mean, we were almost to the Canadian border near Ottawa. The sun would come up, like around June 21st, the sun would come up about 5 a.m., would go down at 8:30 p.m. So you have a half an hour. And here it's like the sun comes up at 6, goes down at about 9, around June 21st. So that should be another half. You get another half an hour of daylight in the middle of June. And as you go further north, yeah, you'll see, you know, you go to Alaska or Canada, sun goes down at 11 p.m. and comes up at 4. So there's almost no night at all. But it's the opposite effect. Around Christmas time, there's almost no daylight. So you notice that also in Florida too. There's less of a difference between the amount of sun in June versus December, and of course the temperature. It's, you know, in southern Florida, it's pretty much summer every day. We just, you know, that's what I like about the four seasons here. It's not so cold in the winter, and it's not so hot in the summer. And you just like seeing every day more and more daylight. You get a feeling of accomplishment. That's why this is kind of a nice time of the year. You might get a cold snap just to keep it interesting, but it always warms up really quickly.
Well, I guess we shall see. So spring will come this week, and that's what we know for sure.
My astronomy knowledge, Scott. I mean, I was always interested in weather. One of my careers I was thinking of when I was a kid was weatherman, and you know, part of that is broadcasting. And previous stations, I've done the weather, and I talk about the weather on the show sometimes. So I guess on a fringe level, but we don't want to discount what Ben Gelber and all the other fine meteorologists do. Computers can certainly help. You know, as Ben has told you, computers can do a lot. They can make all these models. They can make these predictions, but nothing replaces what the brain can do. As well as if you've been in the area a while, and Ben's from Pennsylvania, right? And where there are some climactic similarities, some that are not. I mean, Pennsylvania being pretty mountainous in its parts. But here, just his experience, what he has seen in the past, I'm not sure any computer or artificial intelligence can replace that. And you can't replace the services of a veteran weather person. So the instinct, the education in meteorology and the computer combines, many times we'll find that they can predict stuff for the next week or two. But weather's always full of surprises, which makes it more interesting.
And
but yeah, it is a fascinating field. And, you know Zach, our resident weatherman, he's like myself, as a hobbyist. He loves the idea of climactic changes, and he just does a good job talking about it. We usually talk about tornadoes as tornado season approaches. So just the weather phenomenon, the four seasons we have in this area, you kind of like it, because if you go to Florida, yeah, it's summer every day, but you miss the excitement of the change. Because, you know, to me, the idea that we had the 2 feet of snow on the ground one day and next day most of it was melted, that just makes it more fun to live here, and the feeling of accomplishment that the weather has actually changed that much.
And we shall see what happens. Well, thanks, Adam.
Sorry for being so long-winded, but you know me, I always give complete answers.
It works for me. Thank you.
Have a good day, Scott. See you later.
Adam Lipp giving us a call this morning explaining spring. Well, I guess we have the spring and autumn equinoxes and the summer and winter solstices. And apparently, spring will come tomorrow morning. It was at 5:47 a.m.? I think 5:47 a.m. Okay, but see, I still doubt that because I'm just going to stick with the 21st. I think that's easier, and that's what we did for a long time. March 21st was the first day of spring. December 21st was the first day of winter. September 21st was the first day of autumn, and June 21st was the first day of summer. And I don't know why they started changing this. I think this is something, because, you know, if you are what used to be called a weatherman, now see, this is a whole nother thing. You used to call them weathermen, but we don't do that anymore. It's a meteorologist. Now we have to say meteorologist, because it's not a weatherman. So we've changed that. And now also, we do things like long-term projections and wind chill and heat index. You know, wind chill came first and then came heat index. And I'm not really sure where they get these numbers. I know there's a formula, and I know it's there on the internet. But to be honest with you, here's what I don't understand. Like, last night was a very windy night, and I went out and walked, as I do every night, and it was extremely windy last night. was blowing the hood right off the top of my head. So I knew what the temperature was last night, but what was the wind chill based upon the wind that was hitting me? And if I'm in a city, the wind is going to be less severe because there are more buildings. But if I'm out on a farm in the middle of nowhere, the wind is going to be more severe because there's nothing around me. And the heat index, that's been one of the newer things. The heat index, which I think is based somewhere in the humidity. I don't know how humidity, now it can make the air thicker and it can make it worse for allergies and it can make it worse for like asthmatics, but I don't know how it makes it warmer, because that's essentially what they're saying with wind chill and heat index, that, you know, it's 90 outside but it feels like 105. Well, what if the temperature was actually 105? Would it feel like 120? I don't know. To me, I think it's just something for the weather people to talk about. And again, I know there are formulas, and I know people like those, and I know it's something that meteorologists will swear by. But to me, it's just all something to talk about. If the temperature is 90 outside, you know it's hot. And if the temperature is 15 outside, you know it's cold. I don't know that we need all these heat indexes and wind chills. But that's just me. Does anybody have anything to add to this? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944 as we head into spring. Go ahead, caller.
I'm sorry, Scott. One more call.
Oh, go ahead.
My errands. A meteorologist, at least as I see it, is someone with an education in meteorology and in weather. A weather person, because there are obviously women that do this, is someone who just provides the weather but didn't get a bachelor's or master's or PhD or a broadcast meteorology certificate. Like Zach, for example, I mean, he's a weather hobbyist and knows a lot more about weather than we do. I believe he's getting an online certification, a broadcast meteorology, but he doesn't have a bachelor's degree or higher. Ben is at least a bachelor's. I don't want to discount his education. I think he actually has a master's. And then, like Dr. Greg Forbes on the Weather Channel, he has a PhD in meteorology, which means he's obviously extremely knowledgeable and did research and for his doctorate. So that's the difference.
Being
a gender-neutral term, of course. I mean, most meteorologists are men, which I don't understand why, but there are women meteorologists. And a weather person, weather man, weather woman would just be someone who reports the weather. I mean, anybody can read a forecast, but to me, somebody with the education and experience, you know, is a scientist of sorts, and I'm likely to trust that person more.
Yeah, but I guess what I'm saying is two things to this point. Three things, really. If you want to go national, for years, Willard Scott was called the weatherman on the Today Show.
Right.
And he had no background in meteorology.
Yeah, he's a personality. I'll joke about the weather, but that's fine. I don't claim to have the knowledge. And, you know, Ben, he's so gracious on Facebook. People ask him questions. And Larry Cosgrove also, who used to be a meteorologist in Columbus, he's retired. But people ask him questions on Facebook. He answers with detailed answers because he loves his job.
Right, but then when meteorologist became a popular term, all of a sudden they started calling Willard the meteorologist.
Now, right, and I don't know if he's educated, if he has a broadcast meteorology certificate. I don't know, but I know Ben. I think he has a master's degree, which is pretty good. Which means that's why he's so knowledgeable, why he talks, you know, why he talks in a scientific term, but something that anybody can understand, because he wants you to share his love for the weather. Which is great. He obviously loves what he does.
Right, but I think it was more of... Nobody was being called a meteorologist.
I think they should be if they're educated. Again, on the Weather Channel, Dr. Forbes has a PhD in meteorology. And to me, he's not a weatherman. He's a scientist. He's a meteorologist. Yeah, I mean, he's more than a weatherman. We don't want to discount his education. And it's not... I mean, it's interchangeable in some ways. Basically, Scott... Every meteorologist is a weather person, but not every weather person is a meteorologist. Because anybody can just read a forecast.
Right, but I guess what I'm getting at is I think the term became much more popular as we went into the 80s. I don't think you'd be hard.
I think to me, with my background, we want to be sure people know that there are weather reporters that don't just read the forecast, that they are not, that they've been educated. A PhD has written a thesis on the weather, and is a scientist, like Dr. Forbes on the Weather Channel. And that Ben Galbraith, I think he has a master's degree. He may even have a PhD. He has been educated, at least five years of concentrated education in meteorology, and fields that are similar, like astronomy, for example, like I talked about before. There's a lot of things in common. And when he does give a forecast anybody could read off, but he knows what he's talking. You know, he knows the reason why that forecast is as such, and he'll write his own forecast. He's not getting it off the teletype. You know, when I worked in upstate New York in the 80s, I would just read it off the telephone. I didn't claim to be a weatherman, but I did read the forecast, and I might joke about it. You know, I might talk about the solstice or equinox, like we spent, you know, 10 minutes talking about earlier. So in that case, I'm not providing any scientific analysis, but generally these meteorologists do their own forecast. As Ben and Dave Mazza, the other weathermen, weatherwomen that we have in the area, they know the area so well. No one's going to know this area more than someone who lives here and works here. They make their own forecast and look at computer models and kind of combine everything and put it all in a nice little package.
But that's
the difference. I mean, again, every meteorologist is a weather person, but not every weather person is a meteorologist. That's the best way.
And the bottom line, weather person or meteorologist, they're all wrong 60% of the time.
Yeah, people joke about it's one job where you can be wrong, you know, half the time and still keep your job. But sometimes they'll admit, you know, we don't, you know, they may be sure we're going to get sick. You know, they were pretty good this last couple of snowfalls. They got it, I mean, almost exactly. And there are so many regional differences. I think you can tell them. I can tell them my lifetimes they've gotten better. I mean, the computers have helped, but a lot of it is just the experience and the instinct, because the weather people know what happens in this area, what doesn't happen, and sometimes they're surprised. But they've certainly done better, and they're not afraid to joke about it. Not afraid not to take themselves seriously, because they can't be the butt of jokes. But many times they are spot on.
Well, it's an interesting topic. Thanks, Adam.
Yeah, weather is fascinating, Scott. I would clarify about the meteorologists, because there really is a difference. And I don't want to discount the education of people like Ben and Dave Mazza and some of the people on the Weather Channel that are PhDs. I mean, I want to salute the education that they have, because it certainly is being put to use. Okay, Scott, see you later.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, there you go. The difference between a weather person and a meteorologist. To me, it's all... I don't think any weather person who did not have a meteorological degree ever sat down and tried to be wrong. So I don't know. And a lot of it, to be honest with you, when you're in television and radio and certainly even newspapers, is just rip and read. You're just ripping the weather report from somewhere and reading it. I don't know. You know, I don't know if these people are really tracking it. Maybe they are. I don't know. They say they are. I guess they might be. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944 on this, I guess what you could call last day of winter, 2021, as we head into spring during the 5 a.m. hour tomorrow. Or, if you're a little old school, it'll be Sunday, March 21st. I think sometimes we get a little too technical. You know, I don't know that there's any significance. Now, equinoxes and solstices, they sound like there's some kind of rubric behind that. But as far as just saying, well, this is the first day of spring, this is the first day of winter, this is the first day of summer, it doesn't sound like there's a whole lot of science behind that. I don't know. I mean, you could always say, well, it's because it coalesces with a... solstice or an equinox, but I don't know if that's even true, to be honest with you. I don't know if that's the reasoning behind it. I guess you'd have to talk to the person who came up with all this, the seasons. And then there's some areas of the country that don't have seasons. They have one long, continuous season. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. 47 and a half minutes past the hour. What do you think about the weather or anything of that nature? Go ahead, caller.
Hey, I got a question.
Oh, God. Hopefully I got an answer.
Don't sound so scared, Scott.
Oh, man.
Okay, here we go. So, during your little donut contest to name the most popular donut in Marion, I distinctly remember someone calling and saying Bavarian.
Bavarian, yes. Somebody did call in and say Bavarian.
Now, what is the difference between Bavarian and Boston cream?
Well, it's my understanding that a Boston cream donut has a cherry on top and is filled with Boston cream, and a Bavarian donut is filled with kind of like a custard.
Oh, I thought that that was the same thing, that what was in the middle of the Boston cream. I thought that was the Bavarian cream stuff.
Well, I guess this is an interesting question and probably should be asked of a donut maker, because what I assume there would be some difference, or why do they have both on the shelves?
Yeah, I always thought they were the same thing.
Well, if it's a Bavarian cream donut, because I think that's what it's called, a Bavarian cream donut, I would expect it would have Bavarian cream in it, which is the not-so-sugary type of cream. But a Boston cream, I would assume, would have somewhat of a mixture like a Boston cream pie. And when I've seen Boston cream donuts, they tend to have that cherry on top and a chocolate icing. But I don't know if a Bavarian cream donut always has chocolate icing on top.
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't coming at you with, like, some kind of knowledge. I was just asking because I really did. I always thought that it was basically the same thing.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I guess we would say then, now, like a lemon donut and a strawberry donut. Now, they're both filled with jelly. So they both fall under the category of jelly donut.
But something different.
But something different. There must be some difference, because people are buying Boston cream by the truckload, and they're not buying Bavarian cream by the truckload.
Huh. Okay, well, I'm going to continue to let you all enrich my life and further my education.
Did you get the weather information there? Did you pick all that up?
Well, I ran in to get my breakfast, so what I heard of it was, you know, pretty entertaining.
Well, I appreciate it. Stick with us this morning.
I'm with you. I'm just going to stick with the 21.
21.
And it's the 21, so back when I know we're in a new season.
You can't go wrong.
You just can't.
All right, thanks.
Toodles.
All right. Well, that's a good question, too. You know, we're talking meteorology here this morning, but we did have the great donut caper, which went on the last 2 days, Wednesday and Thursday, and that was based in what is Marion's favorite donut. And right before I went off the air yesterday, we finally had the correct answer, which was Boston cream. And that is true that I have been, as I said, this is sort of unofficial how I was basing this, that I had been to Tim Hortons, I had been to Starbucks, and I had been to Dunkin' with different people, and they all order the Boston cream donut. And the morning we were at Dunkin' for their grand opening, the only donut that they ran out of was the Boston cream donut. Now, I really don't know. To be honest with you, if I've ever eaten one, I don't remember it. So I don't think I've ever had a Boston cream donut. I'm sure I've had Boston cream pie, but I don't remember that well either. Bavarian cream, there must be some difference, because most donut outlets sell both. And I believe we had somebody call in the other day who said that their husband loved the Bavarian cream. Now, would they also order the Boston cream? Is it the same thing? I don't know. Because I've seen the Bavarian, but I don't think I have ever had the Bavarian. So does anybody know the difference now that we've gotten Marion's favorite donut, which is the Boston cream donut? Does anybody know the difference between Bavarian cream and Boston cream? Is anybody an aficionado in the donut world? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Any weather-related questions as we head into spring this weekend, spring 2021? Also, Bavarian cream versus Boston cream. Those are the questions. 740-383-9944. Now, by the way, we did this once with poinsettias and poinsettias and the pronunciation on flowers. At one point, somebody called, I don't know if they called Marion Flower or Hemmerly's or what happened, but somebody called and one of the flower shops called in and told us the difference. Now, you at home right now could call one of these donut shops. They're all open. They open up very early. And we've got, well, I'm going to rattle off four that I'm aware. Andrews, obviously, our hometown baker. Duncan, Tim Hortons, and Starbucks. Now, I don't know if we're on at any of those places or anybody is listening, but maybe you could call them and see what the correct answer is between Bavarian cream or Boston cream, or you could even call them and see if they wanted to call in here and educate us all. Because we would like to know the difference between Bavarian cream and Boston cream, because it's an interesting question. Because the stuff they inject into donuts, the cream, obviously what they call it, why would you call two creams different? Why would you call Bavarian one thing and Boston another? You got me. 740-383-9944. Give us a buzz. Now, remember this morning, we will do our family feud from 10 a.m. till 11 a.m. We will have Pastor Whitaker on with the pastor spot from 11:10 a.m. till 12 p.m. And then we will have Exchange Club today from 12:10 until 1 p.m. All of that will go on, which should be of great interest to the listening audience. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott.
Hey.
The difference between Bavarian cream and Boston cream is the Boston cream is covered in chocolate. Bavarian cream is powdered sugar covered.
Oh, so those are the only differences?
Yes, according to Dunkin' Donuts.
Now, did you call them or was it on the website?
Just on their app. No, the website, yeah.
So the cream inside a Bavarian and a Boston is the same cream, but Boston cream has chocolate and Bavarian cream is powdered sugar.
Yep, and that's what their difference is.
Well, that's interesting. Now, were you surprised yesterday when we finally got the answer of Boston cream?
I was, because I thought that had been guessed already when people said cream-filled and all that kind of thing. I was just assuming Boston cream was a party answer.
Well, you know, I think, like, Long John's are filled with cream, and I think vanilla cream is filled, but I think they are different donuts. People certainly order them as if they're different.
Yeah, I don't really know. I don't eat too many donuts, honestly. But I feel like I'm the donut expert calling in like 3 or 4 days now over donuts.
Well, I tell you, we get on these subjects and we just go away with them. And I don't eat many donuts myself, but I think it's a fascinating subject because it's one of those things where there are so many varieties, and everybody has at one point, like the whole Patchkey donut. You know, that's strange to me. Why would obviously Catholics, I think, is where we are on this one. Why? What is it about that donut?
Yeah, I think it's just the tradition of where it comes from or whatever.
Well, that's interesting. Boy, I appreciate the information.
Yep.
Thank you.
See you later.
Bye-bye. Well, there we go. So apparently, according to the Dunkin' app, if you wanted to know, the Dunkin' app says that Boston cream has the same cream as Bavarian cream, but the Boston cream has chocolate on the top, and the Bavarian cream has powdered sugar on it. Now, when I see the Boston cream donuts, and also the Boston cream muffins, do you remember when there were Boston cream muffins? I don't know if they still sell these. There was a cherry on top of those things. Go ahead, caller.
Morning, Scott.
Good morning.
According to Google, Boston cream donuts are filled with a pastry cream made of eggs, cream, sugar, butter, cornstarch, and cooked until thickened. Bavarian cream, which is my husband's favorite, is made in a similar way but lightened up by folding in whipped heavy cream.
So the difference.
So there's your difference.
All right. So the difference between the two, the cream is not the same.
Right.
So what is the big difference between the creams then?
Just one is the eggs, cream, sugar, butter, cornstarch, and the other one also has heavy whipped cream.
So the Bavarian has heavy whipped cream.
Yes.
Okay, as to where the... So if you were to bite in, if you had no icing at all and you had no powdered sugar and you bit into a Boston cream and then you bit into a Bavarian cream, there would be a different taste.
I'm assuming so, a little bit, at least.
Well, that's interesting. Now, I know you said the other day, but why was your husband's favorite the Bavarian cream?
He just loves the Bavarian cream. The punchkes that you can buy around Easter time.
Right.
He's always on the lookout for the Bavarian cream.
Well, here's what
and
I
that
don't.
That dough is different. It's lighter than a fried donut.
Well, what I don't understand about the punchke is if I get that it has something to do with Lent and Fat Tuesday and the Catholic religion, but what I don't understand is if you're going to eat everything you can because Lent is coming up and you're giving up something, why would it matter if you ate a patchkey donut or a glazed donut?
I have no idea.
I don't know. I'm just trying to... I mean, I get that the correlation is that has something to do with the patchkeys, have something to do with Lent and Fat Tuesday, but I can't figure out what it is. I mean, there's not like a special patchkey bread that you would eat for Fat Tuesday, so I don't know. I'm confused by that.
That's another thing you'll have to Google.
We'll have to figure it out. Well, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Well, now there's two different schools of thought on Boston cream versus Bavarian cream. The first thought was that the difference is that there's chocolate icing on the Boston cream and there's powdered sugar on the Bavarian cream. But the cream is the same. Now, according to another source, there's whipping cream in the Bavarian. See what you started?
How did you know it was me, Scott?
Well, I just knew. I could feel it in my bones.
Flash, you have caller ID.
Uh-huh. Sometimes.
So, now here's some more facts that we need to straighten out. I'm hearing two different pronunciations. I'm hearing punch key and then patch key. What kind of key is it, a punch or a patch?
Have you ever had these things?
Yeah, I just took and told you yesterday. My friend got me a box of them.
Oh, I thought you said you'd seen them. I didn't know somebody bought you a box.
No, I've had them before, and they're delicious. And my friend's gotten them for me before, and I accidentally got some one time, and I got rid of this.
Now, what do you mean accidentally?
I think I did take a bite of it, and then I realized that this is something's up with this, and I looked at the box, and it said prune, and I thought, well, that's good. I don't want to... You don't remember... I told you that whole
story. Oh, I do remember the prune story now, but I didn't think you'd eaten them, because you saw that they were prune.
I didn't eat... That donut I did not eat, but the one that my friend got me a box of, like, strawberry or something like that, I don't know. It's really good.
So... Now you say it's punch key versus...
No, I'm not saying anything. I want to be perfectly clear here. I said the donuts that... I thought it was Pac-Zy or something is what I said.
Well, I said
exactly. And then Dave corrected me and said, oh, that's punch key. But now you're saying patch key.
Is that what I said? I don't know what I say from moment to moment anymore.
Oh, well, like you always said, we have this server recorded. We can always play
it. Yeah, we can always go back and play the tape. So I said patch key.
No, that's what I heard, and yeah, I just want to know.
But did the last caller, because the last caller was not a gentleman, it was one of our female listeners. Now, didn't she say, did she say punch key or patch key?
I'm not sure, but I thought I heard you say patch key. And then the guy who set us on the right path in the first place said punch key. But I want to know, are we patching this key or punching it?
Well, what did you give up for Lent when you had these punch key, patch key donuts?
Oh, I'm not Catholic. I'm Baptist. I can eat whatever I want, honey.
Now, but wait a second. I you don't have to be Catholic to celebrate Lent, do you?
No, you don't go. I could just I was baptized in a Catholic church, but I switched.
You converted.
Mm-hmm.
But you still like the punch key donuts.
Yeah, you can just you could probably be Muslim and like them.
Well. Do you know where they sell the Boston cream donuts? Is it just common? I know they sell them at Dunkin', obviously. But
I'm pretty sure Tim Hortons.
Yeah, it's just a common thing. Now, who's got the cheapest donuts? You know, that's we bring up all the donuts all the time, and of course our local favorite Andrews. But who really, aside from the grocery stores, which box them up and sell them cheap, what donut shop? If you are on a budget, where can you get the cheapest dozen donuts?
I mean, if you really want to be a bargain daddy, you're going to go on down to Andrews and get you a big old sack of crap.
Right, but what if you want Boston cream? What if you want lemon?
I don't think there's that much difference. What, maybe a dime?
How much are the scraps again?
Well, you can get a big bag for $1 or $2.
Well, I tell you what, we're running into the break here, so hopefully
I think he's appreciating all this good press that we're getting.
Well, I hope so too. I don't get a dime from these donut companies, but you know, we're running into this break here, so hopefully.
Oh yeah, look at the time.
I know. When we come back from this break after the news and the weather, hopefully somebody will have the definitive answer on punch key versus patch key.
Yes.
Okay. So stay tuned.
Okay.
Okay, the big punch key, patch key donut debate continues at a quarter after, what will it be? Quarter after the next hour. Stay tuned, we'll be back after news and weather.
Supported by CRT Mechanicals. Address 2842 Marion Waldo Road. Telephone number 740-5495.